of church testimonies and fellowship and praise and prayer. Just a wonderful time that we get to have together quarterly together. It's important that we spend evenings together like this, recounting together the wonder and the works of the Lord, even when times are hard and difficult, right? And I might even say, especially when they are difficult. The psalmist gives us a picture of what that looks like in Psalm 71, 19 to 21, when he writes, "Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again." I love how these verses are just so clear and how they give a testimony to God even during times of intense trial. The psalmist here must have been going through some really intense struggles, because he even describes his troubles as being buried underneath the earth. He's underneath the depths of the earth. But does that trouble silence his testimony? Does that pressure silence his praise? No, he in the midst of his trials, he testifies first to the wonder of the Lord, to the glory of his character. He says, "Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you?" In the middle of the psalmist's struggles, he lifts his eyes up to the Lord and sees a God who is righteous over all things, who is transcendent in his righteousness and in his holiness. The psalmist praises God for that. In the midst of his troubles and calamities, God is still righteous and ruling in holiness. In the midst of his trials, he testifies to the wonder of the Lord, and he also testifies to the work of the Lord. The psalmist not only says to God, "You have done great things," but he testifies that he will do great things yet again. He says in verse 20, "You who have made me see many troubles and calamities, you will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again." I mean, listen, that even if he dies, he says, "You will raise me up. You will increase my greatness and you comfort me again." Notice that his troubles and pressures don't silence his testimonies and his praise. Even when he can't see God working, the psalmist still knows that God has worked, and he still knows that God will work great wonders again. And so he gives him glory for that. He gives testimony to God for his wonders and to God for his works, even during times of intense trials, which means any time is the perfect time to give God praise. And that means tonight as well. And that's what we're going to try to do tonight. We're just going to have a family time as a church, testifying to who God is and what he has done. And so our service is going to be very simple. We're going to sing a song together and then have a 10-minute time of testimony. We're going to do this three times over, and each time of song and testimony taking on a different focus. During our first time of testimony, we're going to focus on Christ being our shepherd and share accounts of how God has led us in unique ways throughout our lives and throughout the last quarter. Then during our second time of testimony, we're going to consider Christ as our vine and share testimonies of how he has given us strength and grace to make it through various moments in life. And finally, during our third time of testimony, we're going to focus on Christ as our door and share testimonies of how Christ has saved us and brought us to himself. That time of testimony will lead right into a celebration of communion together as a conclusion to this evening's service. So with that layout ahead of us, let's pray together to get started. Let's pray. Father, we give praise to you, for your righteousness reaches to the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, no one is like you. Father, we thank you that you are God who is good, who is gracious, and who has revealed himself as such to your people, to us, both through your word and, most importantly, through the person and work of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is not only our shepherd, who leads us, who not only is the vine who gives us fruit that we might bear fruit to God, do good works for your glory, but most importantly, that he is the door, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, he is the mediator, He is the one who has both died for our sins and was raised for our justification, that he has given us salvation, life in his name. Father, we come together tonight to bear testimonies to the wonders and works that you have done in our lives. And Lord, we ask that you just be glorified in this time of fellowship together, both in our songs, in our singing, in our prayers, and in our testimonies. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand and sing with us.
God engages our heart. May Jesus Christ be known wherever we are. We act not for ourselves, but for your renown. The cross has saved us, so we pray. Strength, O God, it courage to speak. Perform your wondrous deeds to those who are weak. Lord, use us as you want, whatever the test. By grace we'll preach your gospel till our dying breath. Come, let your will be done, so that everyone might know your name. Let your song be heard everywhere on earth, till your sovereign work on earth is done. Let your King come, let your will be done, so that everyone might know your name. Let your song be heard everywhere on earth, till your sovereign work on earth is done. Let your kingdom come.
You may be seated.
Jesus says in John 10, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. According to Hebrews 13 and Psalm 23, Jesus is the great shepherd of his sheep who leads us along paths of righteousness for his namesake. Jesus knows his own, calls his own, and leads his own faithfully throughout this life unto glory. And so we wanted to open up this first time of testimony, directing our minds and hearts to Christ as our shepherd, and to share accounts about Christ doing exactly those things in our lives. And so we'll take 10 minutes to just open mic, wave your hand. We'll have a couple of guys running the mics for us, and then we'll sing our next song.
On 2 Timothy 3:13 through 17, it says, or 14, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God be adequate, equipped for every good work." This morning I was just thinking about the way the Lord has been a shepherd to me and good to me and has led me. And I was thinking about when Pastor Zach asked, or he made the statement, because someone was faithful in fulfilling Christ's mission. I know the gospel, and it's been lived out to us. And today, many of you remember my father-in-law, Mike McGill. Today would have been his 75th birthday. And I just think about the way that he was faithful to lead his family, to serve in his church and the community, and the way that he just loved us and was a testimony to us. And we are enjoying that legacy as a family, and we are blessed by it. And I'm just thankful for the way the Lord has just led us in that way and shepherded us through him. So I'm just thankful.
I'd like to read these verses from Ephesians chapter 6. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." So many of you probably heard about the problems that Vio and Estera had in getting here for our missions conference. And I'd just like to elaborate on some of what happened and just how God was so good in leading Estera, Patty, and I, and others in prayer for the situation. So the Grigoris come under a lot of persecution for their camp, specifically by the Greek Orthodox Church. So they've had a surprise inspection about a week and a half ago, and for the first time in 15 or 20 years, they asked for a specific piece of paper that they didn't have and they didn't know that they needed, which started a series of events where they had 15 days to get everything that they needed or face fines and a shutdown of the camp. So I found this out Saturday before the conference in a text message. And so this sounds so lame, but what can you do when you have absolutely no control? Know that God is at work and pray. And so Patty and I prayed, and I know Vio and Estera were praying. And Sunday morning, I got another text because there's a seven-hour time difference. She usually things in their afternoon is our early morning. And she said, "We have a plan. It's not a good one, but we can make it work." And so her plan was to continue to come on Monday like she was scheduled, and Vio would have to stay behind to chase down the paperwork, because on a Saturday, they managed to get commitments from all the bureaucracy to get the paperwork that they needed by Thursday so that Vio could fly on Friday. So Estera shows up on Monday with a bunch of delayed flights, but still made all her flights on time, just barely, from Detroit to Columbus. And Wednesday, we get a text message from Vio. He's very discouraged because he spent all day trying to get the paperwork, and people were reneging on their commitments that they made to get all the paperwork done. So it seemed to me that it was authorities and rulers and things in the spiritual realm that were at work. And so we just, again, sound so lame, but what can you do when you can't do anything? You pray. And I, so just God was so good to us. And we prayed specifically for very specific things. I sent out some text messages to the missions committee in our growth group specifically praying that the man who said he would come on Thursday, who said he wasn't going to come on Thursday now, would come on Thursday. And it was amazing. We prayed, and we just could leave that in God's hands, and we trusted. And then God did the most amazing thing. He solved the whole problem in a way that we never thought of, which was the bureaucrat, which would be a federal bureaucrat in Bucharest, calls VO at 7 at night, and they don't work past 3, and says, I don't know what all the fuss is about. You only need one piece of paper, which is the one VO knew he had to get, and he was running it down. And it had to come from the mayor of the city that they're in, who is very friendly and likes their ministry. He's very friendly with them and is very encouraging to them. So VO's text starts with this word in bold, unbelievable. And God solved the problem in a way that we never thought of. And it was so wonderful. Thursday morning, we were able to buy his tickets. And we had another little trial where things in Paris right now are really goobered up. And he didn't want to fly through Charles de Gaulle Airport. But it was the only way to get him here in a timely fashion. So we went through de Gaulle just fine and got picked up. And we are just rejoicing in the fact that God showed his faithfulness in putting to place his plans and his purposes, and that those that would fight us in the spiritual realm don't have a chance if we pray. So I'm just grateful for that and that God led us to pray.
All right, let's stand and sing again. You sing so much better when you stand.
Father's plan unfold, bringing
Jesus says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Christ Jesus is our life. He is working in our lives and through us, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And so for the next time of testimony, we'd like for all of us to consider Christ as the vine and share some accounts of how he has strengthened you through certain times in your life. So for the next 10 minutes, we'll do that, and then we'll sing our next song.
So as Christ the vine, first, before I even talk about what I want to talk about, I just wanted to thank Jesus for grafting me into the vine. A rebel, lost soul. Cannot thank him enough. And I get emotional about it. So, anyways, Laura and I this year have had a lot of things happen to us, and God has just been so faithful and true to us. And so I just want to quote Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. As Mark said, it's kind of lame. I would say that before I was saved. It's kind of lame, pray. Because we all just pray when we need something. And we forget to praise God and forget to praise him in good times. And we puff ourselves up thinking that we are great. And so I just encourage all of us to be in constant prayer, because it truly changes your life. For one example of that, I just want to thank all of you that prayed for Laura's sister, Rachel, who had a safe surgery, removed a 9-pound, 3-ounce tumor from her chest cavity. She should not be here, and she is, by the grace of God and your prayers. Young people, prayers matter. Pray before a test. Pray before anything. Don't pray for the A. You just pray for clarity of mind. I pray before my 6th and 7th period all the time. I did it the other day in 7th period. I just looked, middle class, and I said, Lord, please give me patience. And the kids just looked at me like, it's the ultimate, it's the ultimate drug. It's a depression pill. It's an anxiety pill. It cures all. And so we're so thankful that Rachel is still here, and she still has a long road to go, but he brought back Devin to us safely. He's helped with our parents and everything. I just can't thank him enough. And so I just want to follow up with you said, praying is not lame. It is awesome. Praise God.
Hello. Oh, here we go. So as you know, Ellie's been kind of down in Cincinnati. She's in Cincinnati right now working, down in Cincinnati for some training for the Air Force the last 7 weeks. And 10-week training, we're 7 weeks into it, praise the Lord. And many of you have been praying for that, and so I really just wanted to say thank you. And to Josh's point, prayer works. 10 weeks of on and off time together, we did not think was going to go anything close to well. We were just like, well, we'll survive it, and we'll come out the other side still married, and praise the Lord. That's but really, it's been actually really great and surprisingly good. And we were just thinking about reflecting on the last 7 weeks and how much your guys' prayers have worked, and how the Lord has just been working in our marriage to just keep us joyful and happy through this, and not just complaining all the time and grumbling and being like, oh, I can't believe we have to do this again this week and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord's just taught us a lot about each other through it and about him. And we're just very thankful for how Christ, our shepherd and our vine, has both led us and strengthened us through a time of a not ideal situation in our marriage. And so just thank you and thank the Lord for his goodness in that.
This is not something I usually do, but speaking of prayer, my brother was a prayer warrior, and that is what he led prayer situations and intercessory at their church. And on last weekend, on Friday, he went to a concert for Cedarville, and Saturday he took someone for a ride so he could be a witness to them. Sunday morning, he served in his ministry of prayer at the church. Went back Sunday night. When he went home, he fell, and I don't know what caused it all, but by Monday morning, he was with the Lord Jesus. Utter shock for us, of course, and I'm, as you can tell, but he was my older brother, and he was a shepherd to me as in growing up because he was enough older that he looked out for me. And he prayed for us, he prayed for our children, our grandchildren, and all of his children and grandchildren. And now I have that example, and he is with the Lord. And I miss him desperately, but he would say, "You come here." And one of the verses that came to mind that was just his evidence was, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my salvation." So the shepherd will care for me and us, but I just wanted to share that with you. And we talk about prayer. He was an example of that for me.
Let's stand and sing again.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a living stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory. Be my glory ever.
Jesus said in John 10, verse 19, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the narrow gate, the way to the Father, the one in whom we find eternal life and rest for our souls. Indeed, no one comes to the Father but through him. And so for the next time of testimony, our final time of testimony, we want to reflect on Christ being the door and share testimonies of how Christ has called us out of darkness into marvelous light in repentance and faith to salvation in him. And we'll do this for about 10 minutes, and then we'll spend time celebrating communion together.
I guess when I think about a door, you know, I think about two different rooms. And as it relates to salvation, it reminds me of this passage in John 8, and starts in verse 31. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. As I think about the idea of a door and Christ being our door, unlocking me from a life of sin, a life of slavery to sin, and I guess chief amongst that is my sin to please myself. You know, it. I often think about how before Christ, I was like the dog that chased its own tail, just in this fury to catch something that I thought was going to give me joy and satisfaction. And then the Lord was gracious enough to allow me to catch it. And the pain that I experienced by my own bite made me realize that chasing that sin of pleasing myself really was slavery. And just praise the Lord for the freedom that he gives and the sonship that he gives.
Thinking about how you know, I grew up in the church, and when I was young, I believed I was saved, and I knew a lot of things for the most part, you know, of God, but at the same time, it wasn't in my heart to follow him, and I didn't really realize that until in my like early 20s, through my high school years and junior high years and stuff, you know, just very sinful, still going to church, but just it's amazing I had the disregard for things of God, and I just didn't have a true understanding, but God was gracious and revealed my sin to me, and saw it for what it was. And I think back now, you know, just all the ways I could have died as a, you know, high schooler doing stupid things, and it's amazing that God, you know, didn't take me at the, you know, through those years when I was actively rebelling against him and a poor witness, you know, claiming to be a Christian, and the hypocrisy of my life. And I'm sure it was clear to those that I let it show to. But he did reveal my sin, and I turned to him, and then he's been gracious to me through the years. And through sanctification and the different trials through my life that have drawn me closer to Him and revealed sin, you know, selfishness and different things in my life that needed rooted out. And I'm just thankful to Him and for the family I have now that He's given me, for the church family, that the teaching and fellowship, friends, just everything. It's an amazing, great thing, and that God has been faithful even when we aren't, but that He chose to save me.
So my life verse is Philippians 3:12-14. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And when I did the Women's Fight Club, our squad group got together and we shared our testimonies, and we only had so much time to do it in, and I was like, wow, like, how do you sum up your testimony? Because I feel like it has really been such a lifelong experience, coming to know Him and truly accepting Him in my heart, but yet the sanctifying and redeeming work throughout the years, and how He has revealed Himself more to me and how He has shown me the areas that I still desperately need to work on. But when I first came to know Him, I was struggling with a lot of depression and anxiety. I felt very lonely as a child because I was a quiet child. But I had learned in Bible Club about how He is omniscient and omnipresent. Omniscient being all-knowing and always present, omnipresent. And I remember laying in my bed that night thinking about it, and I'm like, wow, like, so He's always been here? He knows everything I'm thinking about, I've ever thought, I've ever felt, and He's always been there no matter what. And it really humbled me and convicted me at how selfish I'd been, and I saw the many ways I had been pushing Him away. And so that night I welcomed into my heart, and I just was like, Lord, I'm done with being alone. I want to serve You no matter what. And I knew that, I know that with being a believer, there's going to be suffering along the way, and that was one thing I was really scared of, is suffering. But how He has shown me the beauty in that suffering and the growth that can come from that. Some examples being when I was in my senior year of college, that last semester was one of the worst moments of my life. I just really was not turning to Him. I wasn't trusting Him. Even though the whole time I was in college, I was like, well, if the Lord wants me to become a dental hygienist, then He's going to get me through every hard test, every exam, it's going to be okay. But that last semester, I threw all that out the window and just scrambled and panicked. And yet, by the end of it, I graduated. I felt shameful, but I graduated. And my parents threw a graduation party for me. I got to move out with my sister, and we had an apartment on our own, which was super fun. And I got a job right out of college, and I was just like, I don't deserve any of this. My testimony was in the garbage that whole last semester, and yet You still brought me through it. You still blessed me. And it was just such a beautiful reminder of how much, not only do I not deserve that, but I don't deserve eternal life. I don't deserve to be with Him forever. And then when I went into labor with my son in February, that was hard. That was really hard. Because it ended up being, I went into labor on a Saturday, and I had him on a Monday morning. So very, very long labor. I really could not have done it without my husband and my sister being there. And my friend Chrissy Whitehead. And oh my word, I remember thinking through the whole time how much I had dreaded labor ever since I was little, because I was, like I said, scared of suffering and pain. But I knew I wanted to have a kid someday, and so that's what comes with it. But I remember getting to the end of labor and just thinking, I don't know if I can do this. I'm so exhausted. I am in so much pain right now. And yet I had my son, we're all fine, but I hemorrhaged, and so the recovery has just been a long time. But I just remember at the end after I had him, I was like, wow, and to think Christ suffered so much more than I just did for me. And he chose that. And just so many things flooded in my mind in that moment of thinking about how similar in different ways labor is to Christ's suffering, and how he suffered to bring me life, and how I suffered for my son so that he could come into this world. And just what a beautiful example that is, and how through the last few months of recovering and getting back on my feet and getting energy, I've just really been able to meditate on that and hold to that.
Thank you all for sharing. Just so encouraging to hear each other's hearts, what the Lord has been doing in intimate parts of our lives and our minds. Just makes me think of a verse that I studied recently in Mark 10. Being together here and sharing these things and being together as a family, where Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life." I just think of Jesus' words of, here are my brothers and my mother and my father and my children. Just the sweet creation that the Lord has made among us, made peace by his cross among us, to be children of God and brothers and sisters in the Lord, family together. Just a sweet time that we are able to have together tonight as we remember what the Lord has done for us. We thank you, Holy Father, for your holy name, which you cause to dwell in our hearts, and for the knowledge and faith in immortality, which you made known to us through Jesus, your servant. To you be the glory forever. You, Master Almighty, created all things for your name's sake. You gave food and drink to men for enjoyment, that they might give thanks to you. But to us you freely gave spiritual food and drink and life eternal through Jesus Christ. Before all things, we thank you that you are mighty. To you be the glory forever. Remember, O Lord, your church, to deliver it from all evil and to make it perfect in your love, and to gather it from the four winds, sanctified for your kingdom, which you have prepared for it. For yours is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand and sing as we close.
Thank you. bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand completely. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Tongues assembled are among the chosen. I will be at thy right hand completely. Be justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
You are dismissed.